Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Nope. Back up. What? Back up the train. Oh, we're not ready, y'all. Yeah. It's JAC, and welcome back to the When Birds Fail Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music and a little bit of, you know, oops, I did it again, like Britney Spears, but
just like Britney,
because hey, just like Britney, right? Yeah, oops, I did like it Britney. Again.
Whoops,
Amanda, you got something to add?
Oh no, I was just thinking that kind of goes along with what we're talking about today in a weird way.
It all comes back around.
And I did not plan that, y'all. So okay. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox, and I know I am not the voice of Skrillex from the Muppets. Do we need to change that? Because I feel like I'm telling people, you know, all these years, maybe, and I mean,
maybe we can update it. Maybe I'll work on some kind of update. I like Amanda's. It's fresh. It's something new. We've been working off these for a while. Maybe we can update them. So
okay, yeah. But we'll I mean, I feel like Tony Romo.
So, you do. Mm-hmm. There's that, no denying so, that. Well, that's, absolutely. That
we can, yeah. We
especially can, with that smile.
So, yes, there you go.
So we can use that in our new in our new intros, I guess, because we need to create one for you. But go ahead and
hey,
you know, I mean, let's continue the old fashioned intro for Blake.
Yeah, who am I? You may be wondering, and I ask myself that quite often, especially when it comes to conspiracy theories. Mm. I question everything, and we're going to get into that today. But I'm commonly referred to as the loudest guy in the room, but only when I'm playing the drums. And if you're wondering, oh, I still don't know who you are, I'll tell you. I'm your endless source of useless music knowledge. My name is Blake Mosley, a.k.a. Brosley, a.k.a. Emo Bemo, a.k.a. Tinfoil Hat.
Hold on, slow down. Timothy. You can't have that many names. Come on now. I don't even have that many names.
Tinfoil Hat Timothy is what I'm going by today.
I like that.
Add that in the new intro, buddy. We got you.
Timothy.
Timothy is my first name for those of you who don't know. So
Blake.
You're a middle name goer buyer.
I am a middle name goer buyer. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
I am a first name
for that. Yeah. Mm. So my dad went by, his name was Tim. So everybody called him Tim. They didn't want me to also go by Timmy or whatever. So they called me Blake. So, yes, I also go by my middle name. But today,
I do like Blake, though.
Tinfoil Hat Timmy.
I do like
Blake. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Right. It gets the job done.
And then,
yeah, there we go.
It does. Yeah. And then there's me, Amanda Dolan. I may not know the name of the song, the artist, or the album like the other guys here, but chances are I will sing along loudly, proudly, and poorly. Just ask my kids. They will also tell you that I'm not a regular mom. I am a paranoid mom. Mm.
I am going to ask your kids that. I'm going to be like, hey,
yeah, we
do
need
all these things. Does it all check out? Tell us.
Right.
Oh, they will. No, you're not allowed to talk to my children. None of you ever.
What have we come
We're
over?
All like, we're all super skeptic today, right? I think that's the theme of today's episode is like, trust
I'm a little
no
bit.
One.
I'm a little afraid of like what my kids would tell you about me. Like, they'd tell you all my secrets. They would tell you lies. They would tell you like I'm not really a human, that I'm some sort of like
reptilian
lizard people, man.
I'm a lizard person that lives I typically live under the Denver airport. I'm a lizard person under the Denver airport.
Okay.
I hang out with the birds who are actually robots.
They're not real.
They're drones.
Yep.
They're not real.
You know, funny you should say that. I love the last podcast on the left. I've been listening to them for years, and right now I think they just finished it. But it is a very small series on David Icke, the guy who basically came up with like the reptilian conspiracy theories or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's been very interesting. And I promise this was not planned because like I came across this conspiracy theory a while ago and I had it like in my little notes app on my phone for episode ideas eventually. And I was like, oh, this would be a fun one to do. And then I got like, I did another deep dive into the world of conspiracy theories today. Thanks to that last podcast on the left episode. Nice. And I need to preface. Actually, you know what? We'll preface when we get there. James, why don't you tell us what you've been up to, buddy? How are you guys doing? We're gonna save all the tinfoil hat stuff for just a minute whenever we finally get into it.
I'm doing okay.
All right, that's good to hear. Now let's get into it and let's talk about things that are fake. I'm just kidding.
God, you're just like okay, so you're just like a what's the name on the Necrogoblin show. You're like somebody I don't know, but that makes a lot. You look like him too, but if I remember the name, I'm gonna shut it out. But So Amanda, so we're gonna test your music knowledge here a little bit, okay?
Oh no,
Foo Fighters. You've heard of them, obviously.
Of course.
Foo Fighters.
Dave Grohl. Okay, so. Quiz time for you. What album does he dislike of his the worst?
Mm.
Like his number one least favorite album.
Mm.
Do you know, Blake? Have I stumped
you? Okay. It would it
It's a Foo Fighters album.
It's Foo Fighters. Okay, I was gonna say.
Is it a Nirvana album?
Yeah. No.
It's Nirvana. Like we're gonna have a.
It's the Foo Fighters. One of the records. Which one is it?
Is it the whole album or is it just a song?
The whole album. He does not like the album that he made.
Is it their first album? I don't even know. I'm having to look up the name of albums.
Right.
I'm just gonna look up name. I'm not doing any other research other than names of albums.
Names of albums, yeah. And I just gave you a big hint earlier when I said he made.
Okay.
Is it just the debut album, Foo Fighters?
Yes. It is.
That was what I was gonna say.
And the reason why I brought it up because I finally got it, y'all.
How about that?
Yeah, because I've been wanting this forever and a day, and it's so hard to come by.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So hard to come by. But yes,
so
he does not.
My question.
He does not like this album.
He says it was really just an experiment. It wasn't intended to be an album.
Right. And he did the drums, bass, and he sang on this. He did it all by himself without any help.
So here's my question about that, because my understanding. All right, so my understanding, Foo Fighters was a and still is technically a super group of sorts, right? You have Dave Grohl, from Nirvana.
Yeah.
You also have
Pat Smear.
Pat Smear, who was also in Nirvana and in the Germs,
right?
And then you had the bassist and the drummer for Sunny Day Real Estate that were initially in the Foo Fighters. Amanda's like, okay, all right.
Cool.
I'm reading things. It's interesting. But we'll get there in a minute. Yeah.
She's got the red yarn like connecting it all together. Yeah.
All
right. So I always heard that Dave Grohl was not satisfied with the drumming. On those, which is why he went back and re-recorded all the drums for The Color and the Shape himself. That's him. Yeah. Okay. And Taylor Hawkins came along after The Color and the Shape came out. He did not record the drums on that.
And which album was after Color and the Shape?
So Color and the Shape.
Because Color and the Shape had
There is
had
nothing
My
left
Hero.
To lose. So
okay. Okay.
The album with Learn to Fly was the first album that had Taylor Hawkins on it. So
it. Yeah.
The original drums had the guy from Sunny Day Real Estate, and then Dave Grohl recorded the drums for Color and the Shape. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Taylor Hawkins came around in 1999 for There's Nothing Left to Lose. Now, fun fact, Taylor Hawkins is in the music videos for My Hero and Everlong, which was off of The Color and the Shape. But he did not play the drums on the tracks. He was in the band, but he did not provide the drumming tracks for those. So take that to your local brewery for your musical trivia night, or you can take me and I will win you a lot of free beer.
Yes, that is what we all need. I would like to read the last sentence. Yes, sentence. Okay. Of the Foo Fighters, like biography or whatever on Apple Music.
Okay.
So whether building their 2014 album Sonic Highways around an HBO music history series or collaborating with legends like Paul McCartney, the Foo Fighters are the sturdy connective tissue between the classic rock era and the modern age.
There you go. Mm. There you go.
You know what? Which is funny because Paul McCartney is dead.
It's dead, but not,
sure
but not
he's,
yet. But not yet, because I got a few
died.
More things to show you.
He's dead.
Is he with like Avril Lavigne dead? Is that like?
Yeah, I think him, Avril Lavigne, Elvis is definitely dead. I think Tupac is alive. I think Biggie is dead. And Kurt Cobain did not kill himself, and that's where I'll leave it.
We are on the same page with that one.
Yeah.
I am curious, is Britney Spears alive or dead?
Mm.
I think she's alive. Mm. I think that's been her. It's just, we actually covered Britney Spears. We did like a two-part on Britney Spears a couple years ago. And kind of talked about like her, the really sad story behind her.
Funny thing about that is we did two episodes, me Blake
and Austin, right? Yeah.
And that's our most listened to. Like episode ever, which is great, because everybody loves Britney. I mean, I love Britney.
We love Britney.
Yeah.
Yep.
We do. She's great. She's younger than I am, but not much. But we both have struggled with mental health stuffs. Yeah. And it's like I'm intrigued by her and how she shows up in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And the judgment that is passed, like, because of her mental health and like the assumptions that we make about her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, I know that's another sort of theory out there, is that it's not really her.
Right.
I mean, I've seen everything from like people showing like the spacing of her teeth and like moles and the way cameras are set up when she's recording dancing.
See,
and
see, I that's mean, what they did to Avril Lavigne. And I still think that's, I don't know if that's the real one, or I don't know about her. I mean, she's kind of like, but it doesn't make sense. But
I don't know, but that's.
But one more thing before we move on. You've heard of Black Sabbath, y'all, right? Black Sabbath is a great metal band.
No.
Who?
No, you never heard of it.
What?
Kidding.
Just kidding. Trust no one.
No.
I definitely not the Osbournes, right? We don't trust.
No.
You talking about the reality TV star, Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, we wouldn't trust him for anything, right?
No. With his talk show host wife, Sharon Osbourne?
I would kind of trust him, but not his wife. But that's near here or there. But
I like Sharon.
I trust them both all the way. They are amazing. Please love us.
Oh yeah, please come on our show. Yeah, yeah.
I
would love to talk to Ozzy Osbourne.
But their guitarist, Zakk Wylde, I'm a big fan of. I got multi albums by him. He has a band called Zakk Sabbath. It's like
Zakk
Sabbath.
That's right.
Tribute band to Ozzy.
Yep.
And he came out with one called Vertigo last year, covered Black Sabbath's first album, Black Sabbath. This time, he released an album just called The Black Sabbath. It's called Doom Forever and Forever Doomed. Once that is the second album to full, and the other side is the third album in full.
Nice.
So I guess he's gonna release all of them, you know, chronologically ordered, but it takes so long for him to do this side project, you know.
But
I have a feeling he'll release more, you know, in a timely manner, because Ozzy, I don't know if you saw it, but Ozzy Osbourne's still not doing, you know, very good still.
You know,
which I mean,
talk about a guy like him and Mick Mars. Their health has like just like declined so much,
especially Mick.
But it has been for like 20 years at least, and you're kind of like, man, I'm surprised they made it this long. It's crazy.
I feel like, and it's been a minute since I watched the Osbournes TV show. I don't even remember when it came out. In fact, we're gonna like do some of the quick Googles.
I think it's 2005, maybe.
You know, it was a number of years ago, quite a long time ago. Interesting. You know, he's only 75. But I feel like during like when he was like on the like Osbournes, whatever that show, that like he was in worse shape than he is now.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's,
funny.
I don't know if that was like the medication.
Mm-hmm. That most likely is. Because medication will do some strange things to you, even though,
We'll have to do an Ozzy Osbourne episode.
Yeah. Let's try to get
I mean, and I think like it needs to be a deep dive into like such
a great history behind not only Black Sabbath. That definitely needs to be a two-parter, because we have to cover. We have to cover Black Sabbath, because that in itself is an amazing story. Ozzy's solo career is an amazing story. And then his return to Black Sabbath after all that time is just, it's great.
Speaking of...
But do we not also think that, like, Sharon and, like, her family and all of that is an interesting, like, part of his...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
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 His story as well. I mean, like, there's, I don't know. There's so many things that we could talk about.
Right.
And I think that Ozzy is the only remaining, well, I would say remaining musician that has bit off a head of a dove and a bat. So you guys,
is that true?
Yes.
It is true. That happened. Yes. That actually happened. Both there's times. Photographic evidence.
But I feel like there was something else like weird about it. I don't know. We need to.
Well,
I need more.
The bat issue, it was thrown on stage while he was performing live, right, Blake? And he thought that was a plastic bat. And
okay, so then it was not a, like, he brought it on stage.
Nope, yeah. It was thrown on stage by with him. Like a random fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Random.
Okay.
The dove story. If we've got a minute, the dove story, he goes to sit down with some record executives talking about, this is during his solo career.
Right.
He goes in there to try to meet, and they kept telling him, like, Ozzy, you got to play nice. Like, you have to play by the rules. Please don't do anything outlandish. And so they take in these dove as a sign of peace to show, like, I come in peace. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a crazy person.
I'm Ozzy, man.
And he sits down in the lap of one of the ladies that's in this, like, record executive meeting.
Executive producer or something. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, sits down big time. And sits down in her lap as he's holding the dove and he's cradling it. And there's photos of this now. Like, there's a, and then all of a sudden, chomp. He just bites the head off of the dove and spits it out, and then he's got blood trickling down his
mouth. There's a picture documenting it too. So.
Yeah, so that happened. So
if you feel froggy for anybody out there, we could go look at the picture. It's
great.
Frightening too.
It's great.
So yeah, the Osbournes came out in 2002.
It is more than 20 years old now, which is wild. I thought it was 2005.
I used to watch the crap out of it. Yeah.
My God,
and they're like fight with their neighbors, and like, I mean, I remember.
Also, did y'all know that Kelly Osbourne? She has a sister.
She did not want to be on the show.
Ozzy has two daughters.
All about that.
Amy, was that her name?
I have no idea, but she did not want to be on the show.
I forgot there was another Osbourne child.
Yeah, because. Yes. I think they said that.
Because
we think
of Jack and Kelly.
Jack and Kelly. Yeah, because they were the most viewed. But I think that she didn't want to be a part of the show, so she set up her recorders in the backyard. I don't know. But
yeah. Amy is her name.
Okay,
Amy.
Okay.
And I have no idea.
A-I-M-E-E.
I have no idea what she looks like. So, you know, because I don't know. But
who knows?
They do have a podcast.
You know, One of my favorite things about the Osbournes, though, real quick before we get into it, Kelly Osbourne, has been known to date a lot of musicians and things like that. Dad being, you know, the biggest rock icons that's ever been, right?
Right.
So, my favorite episode of the Osbournes is when she was dating Burt McCracken from The Used.
Okay.
And so, like, this is like when The Used, they were just starting out. Like, they hadn't gotten super big. They were kind of on MTV a little bit, but, you know, they're playing Warped Tour or whatever. And that's how they met. And then, she brings him, like, to the house. And Burt McCracken, especially back then, is just the grossest, dingiest looking guy. And, like, his hair is all long, but it's, like, very unkempt and, like, greasy looking. His clothes look really disgusting. And he's acting all weird or whatever, but like, I was a massive fan of The Used. So it was so awesome to see like the singer of one of my favorite bands on this reality show dating Kelly Osbourne.
And I think she's with Sid Wilson from Slipknot now, right? They got a kid together.
I think she is. Yeah. I think they are married. I think they have children together.
Yeah.
I think so.
I know they have a child,
Sid Wilson from Slipknot. Yeah.
I know they had a child, but I didn't know that they were married.
I think they're married. Yeah. I think they got married. Which, by the way, another like Slipknot update. We talk about this every so often. So we discussed Jay Weinberg being kicked out of Slipknot, right?
Yeah.
Long time ago, really sad, like, you know, phenomenal drummer. Amanda, if you didn't know, Jay Weinberg, former drummer of Slipknot, he's played with a bunch of different bands and stuff. His dad, I can't think of his name, but plays drums for Bruce Springsteen.
Jay, uh,
Really?
Yes. Max Weinberg.
Max,
yes, maybe?
Yeah.
Max Weinberg, yeah.
Max Weinberg.
So, yes. Yeah, so funny story. Yeah, you got Bruce Springsteen's drummer has a kid who played drums in Slipknot. but anyway, now he got kicked out of Slipknot, but he is now playing with Infectious Grooves. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that band.
I heard he's playing with Suicidal Tendencies.
So it's the singer from Suicidal Tendencies. That's his side project. Oh, okay. And it's with oh man, what's his name? From he plays bass in Metallica now.
Robert Trujillo,
yeah, who used to be in Suicidal Tendencies, but now he's doing this. He's with Metallica, but he does this side project with the singer from Suicidal Tendencies, and now Jay Weinberg is playing with them. So it all comes back around. So a lot of theories that the ex-drummer from Sepultura is going to be the next drummer for Slipknot. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, all right, because now the former drummer of Suicidal Tendencies is playing for Sepultura. It's one big ring. Anyway,
Amanda's
it's
like,
all a conspiracy. It's connected.
And Amanda's
it's
like,
it's all over here. Yeah. I need to, I really am going to have to go find some yarn.
Put all this together.
Yeah, but be like where's Waldo board?
I may have to take the pictures off of my bulletin board, down and start.
Yeah. It's all connected. And everything is a conspiracy.
Blake, and I bet you she's thinking, that's a lot of useless knowledge that I just got.
Useless music knowledge. This is what I do. This is me.
Yeah.
It has come in handy a couple times. Yeah. I don't remember what, but somebody said something. I was like, did you know? And then I had something clever to say.
And they're like, holy crap.
You go. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Look at me. Go. And
I was thinking it was just, it was like something was wrong with me, right? Yeah. Like I couldn't pay attention in school because I was thinking about music trivia.
If you want a free beer, you can
hit me up. I'll be on your team.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
She's like, yeah.
I mean, I have weird knowledge about other things, not music. Like, do you want to know about plants? I can tell you all about plants and how much light they need and how to feed them and the acidity of the soil. Do you want to know about baking and do you want to add more flour or butter? Do you want your butter melted or room temperature for your cookies? Tell you all about those things.
I'll hit you up. I want to know those things.
Because here's a little bit of knowledge. Baking powder, puff, baking soda, spread.
Oh, okay. All right.
There you go.
We're learning.
There you go. I'll leave you.
We're learning. Yeah. We're getting it together here. Okay, cool. Cool.
So there you go.
Well, hey, why don't we take a second to before we transition into our main topic today? I want to make something really clear. Okay, the topic of conspiracy theories, especially as of late, can be a very controversial subject. I want everybody to know that while I do find conspiracy theories very, very interesting, and I may find myself on some YouTube rabbit holes on some very interesting topics, I do not consider myself a conspiracy theorist. So let's just make that really clear. I like fun conspiracies, like Paul McCartney is dead, like Avril Lavigne was replaced by a stand-in years ago. Things like that are really funny. Tupac is alive. I do think that. But aliens, all these things like that. I like the fun stuff. There are some things that I think get taken a little too far. We won't be going there. I do find it interesting. And if I were to not at least give it a chance, then I feel like I don't have I'm not in a position to say, so-and-so is full of crap. Like, okay, let me hear what you're saying. I will look up these things that you claim. And I will draw my own conclusions. So there are conspiracies out there that I have listened to, I've watched videos on, I've done research on, and I, at the end of it, I said, I don't believe that. Maybe some things are not totally true, totally true in this whatever scenario, but I don't think X, Y, and Z, right? So
what I'm hearing is listen, be curious, do your own research, and come up with your own conclusions based on your research and what works for you.
You said it. That's it.
Also,
that is it.
Also, before we get going, I interviewed two book authors called Jay Watson and Kyle Wilshire, and they wrote a book called The Dead Rockstars, and that's about how John Lennon and Elvis might affect their death. Might, you know, we don't know. Might affect their death and became secret agents. And we did talk about Paul in their interview, too. So anybody who wants to listen to that, go to episode 307 and have a good time listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's dive right into this one then. So we got a lot of people who listen to the show that are big Beatles fans. So this one, by the time we reach our conclusion today, you can make that decision on your own as to whether or not you think that Paul McCartney is dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So as this article, by the way, comes from BeatlesStory.com. I will find a name to give proper credit to this writer before we finish today. So anyway, BeatlesStory.com. So as avid Beatles fans, we have heard every fact, story, and theory surrounding the Fab Four. From in-depth analysis of lyrics they wrote to transcripts of private conversations that they had in the studio, we're lucky to have such readable material on our favorite band so readily available. But being the most documented band of all time doesn't just come with its fun factoids, but with its wild theories and deductions too. What happens when fans take their analysis one step further and start looking for hidden meanings? When listeners begin to search recordings back to front for secret messages, any Beatles fan can answer that. Conspiracies, such as the legend Paul is dead theory. All right. So we're gonna take a quick little deep dive into what a lot of people, and I mean, they have been thinking this for a long time. This goes back all the way to the days of the Sgt. Pepper's album is when people started kind of like raising their eyebrows about like what may or may not have happened. So Amanda, before we get into it, have you ever heard this theory before?
I have not.
Really?
Okay. Which is interesting, but I mean, I don't listen to much about
rumors.
I'm all about cults, and there is.
Yeah.
I've got to do some research because there is a former member of the Beatles that has a connection to a cult. Something Alamo, but I want to call it Alamo, but and he made jackets. Hold on. I just listened to this. While you talk, I will find the information.
Okay. Sounds good. And for those of you, another fun, it's not really fun. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Maybe it's not fun, but you know, Helter Skelter. Is a Beatles song, which is where Charles Manson, you know, got the, anyway.
Yes.
Then we get into the whole satanic panic.
Yep.
Like that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Okay. Listen.
We have to do an episode on that too.
We can, because I have done that with my brother-in-law on our not religious podcast that we did years ago. We did a whole satanic panic episode, you know, about like heavy metal and like Dungeons and Dragons and Harry Potter and stuff like that. So those are, and the Eagles are pure evil. Hotel California is about worship. So
obviously, I mean, come on now.
You get there and you can't ever leave.
Right. There you go. You're stuck in hell. Anyway,
forever.
All right. Let's forever. All right. So let's dive into this theory here. So the theory goes that on the 9th of November, 1966, Paul McCartney was tragically killed in a car crash on his way home from working on the Sgt. Pepper album. In the studio, the Beatles, wanting to save their fans from the heartache of losing Paul and dealing with the loss of their bandmate, decided to conceal the truth, perhaps not by choice, and replaced Paul with the winner of a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. William Campbell or Billy Shears was the two names there. In the years following the tragic accident, the remaining Beatles were racked with guilt. And began leaving clues and messages in their music and material to communicate the truth to the fans.
Hold up. Wait, stop right there, please.
Okay.
So they found two guys that look like Paul.
Yes, two potential look-alike contests for a Paul McCartney look-alike search. William Campbell or Billy Shears.
Right.
So that's the theory.
So did they decide on one or the other, or could both be? I mean,
we'll see.
Okay.
Oh, they could be interchangeable. Okay.
Right.
Could be interchangeable. Right. We'll have to see. Yes, very similar to the Avril Lavigne theory, that she died after her first album,
yeah,
and then they brought in a lookalike to take her place, so that the record company could continue to make money.
Right.
Amanda, did you find anything? Update.
Give her just 1 minute.
I am getting there. I was listening to you, but okay. It has to do with Pete Best, who was the original drummer.
Yes.
Before Ringo Starr came in. But I'm working on the rest of it. So you all keep going, okay. But we are going to go with Pete Best.
We'll come
Best.
Back to that.
Give me just another minute.
Sure.
Sounds good. All right. So now let's talk about the truth. In reality, there is no evidence to support this story. Although Paul was involved in two car accidents around this time, multiple witnesses and Paul himself confirmed that shortly afterwards that he was perfectly well. Additionally, there is no evidence that a lookalike contest ever took place and no trace of William Campbell ever existed.
Hmm.
So apart from a few odd whispers here and there, the rumor never really gained any traction for the next 2 years until the September 17th of 1969, when a student called Tim Harper published an article titled, quote, is Beatle Paul McCartney dead? In Drake University's student newspaper in Iowa, located in the United States. Obviously. So the article is understood to be the first published work on the Paul is dead conspiracy theory, and the catalyst in transforming the conspiracy from an irrelevant myth to an international phenomenon. All right.
Two things I want to say or add to this. On one hand, it makes sense that the government or somebody held this contest, and after they found this, who was it? The lookalikes, they mm-hmm. did everything to their power to get it all away so that nobody can find it. On the other hand, though, which is what I'm gonna make no here. Is the Beatles came up with that theory just to make, you know, more sales. You know, that could happen too.
Could be.
I think there's something there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I found what I was looking for.
Okay,
now,
okay.
There's, here we go.
We could go into, like, we could do a whole episode about just this. But a man named Tony Alamo, also Alamo, but whatever, who sure. was...
Remember the Alamo.
Yes. Who he was a leader of a cult. I'm just going to say, call it what it is. But he was a musician, and he helped produce some of Pete Best's music after he left the Beatles. And Pete Best's manager, David Rolnick, wrote an affidavit that said that Tony Alamo contributed greatly to any... I'm quoting here. It is his opinion, David Rolnick, that Tony Alamo contributed greatly to any success that Mr. Pete Best achieved. Also, I feel like Alamo was responsible for the $6 million settlement Pete Best received from the Beatles.
Wow.
Fun fact as well about this Tony Alamo. Hang on.
Yeah, she's got dogs that are, you know, going. It just happened.
It's a conspiracy. They're all out to ruin this podcast.
Right, right.
They're like, they can't know the truth.
They're not real dogs. They're lizard dogs. Yeah. You know,
lizard reptilian.
Reptilian canines. Dogs. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so we're going to come back to you, Amanda. No? Yes? Nope. Okay. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right. And mother, sons of my dad, trying to be...
You mother cluckers? Right, yeah. So, all right. Okay, Blake, why don't you read the next part?
Oh, no, wait. We're ready now. Tony Alamo also created jackets with lots of... rhinestones that you should not buy because they were created by small children, because children have tiny hands and they can do little tiny beadwork. But one of his jackets was worn by Michael Jackson.
Whoa.
That is on the cover of his, I believe, his Rolling Stone like cover. Double check on that. Okay. But like, I mean, we're talking, I mean, all like Dolly Parton. Mr. T. It is wild. Miley Cyrus wore one. Nicki Minaj. I mean, it was wild. And he was even selling these jackets while he was on the run from the FBI. So.
Whoa.
Those are just fun random facts that look at all these wild conspiracy theories out there.
Man.
So yeah, it's I'm sorry, I lied. It was on the Bad album cover, not
Okay. So
yes. Sorry, I got it wrong.
So the Bad album cover, just to I thought it was like some, you know, like a leather jacket.
I got it. Hold on.
You got it. Okay.
Is it right there? Is it right here?
That's it. So okay, so that is the Bad album cover. It's just cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, because that's the one that you told me to look at. Right,
it's the same picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, which I'll look at like the wildness that is all the conspiracy theories and like how you can get back to all the things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is my weird knowledge. I love cults, so I can like bring cults into things.
Yeah, there you go.
I love cults. Speaking of cults, we just watched the Mother God documentary series. So wild, man. So wild. We couldn't stop.
What's it on? Is it on Netflix?
It is on HBO. On
yes.
Netflix. Oh, I don't have that. Okay.
Yes.
And it is
crazy.
It's wild.
It is wild. Before we
move away from cults, my little claim to fame is the college that I went to. One of our alums was Marshall Applewhite, also known as the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult.
Oh no.
Dude. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I went to a tiny college. It's like our one weird claim to fame. Oh, we have like the cool what a claim Nikes to fame. And they
Yeah, the purple yeah. sheets and everything. Yeah.
So our family has a claim to fame, but it has nothing to do with cults. So
then it's no fun.
Well, it is fun because it's mythical.
Some other conspiracy, though?
No, this is true. This is because my granddad taught Ike Turner how to play guitar. So that's our claim to fame. So, yes. Oh, you're welcome.
I thought ours was Pee Wee Gaskins. I thought that was South Carolina's like true crime claim to fame.
that's what I'm on, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go. All right. Yeah. Well, Marshall there we Applewhite. Go.
Wow. Interesting.
Went to my college. I'm sorry, y'all. Small
world.
You all know about music. I'm telling you, like, ask me about cults. I can tell y'all about them.
We'll chat. Okay, we'll chat about cults.
Which goes back to my conspiracy theory paranoia.
Yeah.
Okay. But more back to.
Yes.
Funny you should say that, because as seen here, there's a quote from Tim Harper. And he said, a lot of us, because of Vietnam and the so-called establishment, we're ready, willing, and able to believe just about any sort of conspiracy. So all these things are popping up during a time where like people really started to not trust like the government and not trust like anyone in any type of leadership role because of like war and what have you. Like it just, everyone seemed shady at that point. So you're willing to believe just about anything at that point, because like it seems like nothing is off that, like, you know, we're coming, it's like post World War II, right? All kind of crazy stuff happened during World War II that no one thought was humanly possible. And then there's all kind of like cover-ups that are coming, like there's mysterious circumstances, JFK, like that whole thing. That's a wild ride. That is something you guys could really get lost you know, going down your YouTube rabbit holes about multiple shooters and things like that. Who are these people in the background? Anyway, so yeah, you kind of like can't blame people for being a little suspicious. And even up to this day, there's a lot of really shady things that are kept from us. That is true. That is true. So while I do love these kind of things, I'm not saying they're all 100% true, but there are shady things that happen about a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are covered up that I feel like should be more out in the open. Why is it being covered up? Like, I don't understand.
I mean,
yeah,
there's some stuff kind of going on right now that
where's Kate Middleton? Where is she?
Yeah. And you know, I know no that she just her. Like, but she just did that, you know, she made a statement, but it's that like when you don't tell us things or you hide things from us, especially with how much access we have to information now, it makes you go, why are you hiding that from us? So now I'm going to make up a story.
Right.
Because I don't have all the information. So
exactly.
I think that's it's so much like when we feel like things are hidden and we don't have all the information, we fill in the gaps with whatever we can find.
True. Mm-hmm. Whatever it's like a way of self-soothing, right? Like like this concept is so wild to me that like the only thing I can do is try to come up with some kind of answer because no one will give me an answer and that will help me process it easier. Yeah. You know? Anyway.
Makes perfect sense. All right.
So, continuing on, following the release of the article, a caller to Detroit radio station WKNR FM informed DJ Russ Gibb of the rumor live on air. Intrigued, Gibb and other callers spent the remainder of the show discussing the rumor and its clues. Several other radio stations in the New York area began to pick up the rumor in the weeks following, including WABC, whose audience during the discussion in the early hours of October 21st, 1969, spread across 38 U.S. states. Before long, the rumor became known all over the world, and popular music's biggest conspiracy theory became forever famous. Now, that is something like I kind of miss about the days of radio. Like, podcasts are great. I love being able to just pull up music anywhere, like on an app and listen to anything I want to. But there was something about listening to a radio show that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I would have been around for this time and you have people calling in and you hear this caller and they're saying these things and it turns into like a whole episode of whatever you're listening to. Like, that is exciting to me. Like, I feel like that I would have like thrived with that.
Well, see, didn't you work at a radio station, Blake?
I did. Yeah. I worked I like kind of under the table. It wasn't official, but I did work on a radio show, and I kind of saw the ins and outs of, of things.
Yeah.
Always wanted my own radio show, so never got there. But you know what? Podcasting. Here we go.
You have a voice, you know? You got that.
And a radio face.
You do have the golden voice. And
I don't know if that's true.
And a radio face. How about that?
Face for radio.
That's right. Me too.
But you know, when I think about like radio, like this, and Blake, I'm just going to, no, you don't have a face for radio. Stop.
That's why it's hidden on this microphone.
Oh, stand up, man. Yeah.
Nope. I disagree. But it's, you know, when I like see this, it kind of has like the, and I'm saying this and obviously they called in and it was on a telephone, but it's got that like telephone vibe to it, you know, like, I heard this as opposed to one online. It's still a game of telephone, just a different way, but it's much easier to find that initial like source and this, you know, you couldn't just really quickly be like, doo-doo-doo. I'm going to Google and find like the original person that said the thing right now in the moment. But it's wild that it spread across 38 states without the internet that quickly.
Really quickly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's wild. I also love this quote from Paul McCartney, and I'm going to read it in my Paul McCartney voice. Although my John Lennon voice is much more fun. Someone from the office rang me up and said, "Look, Paul, you're dead." And I said, "Well, I don't agree with that." pretty good, right?
That's a good
it Paul is. McCartney. Fantastic.
Thanks. If you want me to do my John Lennon, let's say it was John Lennon. Someone from the office rang me up and said, look, Paul, you're dead. Or John. Actually, that's got more of like that's Irish anyway. Vibe. Sorry.
Yeah.
Do it in Eric Cartman voice. Great.
Yeah, I'm not great with accents anyway.
And do it in
it may be terrible. Highly offensive to some people, and I apologize.
Do it in your Cartman voice.
Someone from the office read me up and said, is it
okay, yeah, that's fine, good. That's fine.
That was perfect.
Thanks. That one I've got down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have any accents, but what I will say is that when I talk to y'all, my Southern comes out a whole lot more.
How can it not?
You say y'all.
I mean, because with y'all, listen y'all. To Blake.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, I say y'all, and I was trying to, do you all agree that there's a difference? Like, if I say, hey, y'all come here, or hey, all y'all come here.
Yeah.
That's two different amounts of people, right?
Right.
100%.
A vastly amount. Yeah.
All y'all.
Yeah.
Like, that's everyone. But if I look at two people and y'all come here, but then it's hey, all y'all. That's everyone.
I don't mean y'all. I mean all y'all.
All y'all.
Right.
All y'all. Yeah, that's a vastly big number.
By the way, I will say that I type y'all enough in my phone that tall autocorrects to y'all now.
Nice. Oh, no. I wish I could do that. Oh. I wish I could do that,
Yeah.
Okay, so there's evidence here, Blake, right? There's evidence.
There is some evidence. So let's look at the evidence here to kind of see where this is all kind of stemming from. So in the 50 years following the conspiracy first gaining international fame, Beatles fans all over the world have submitted their own ideas of supporting evidence, quote-unquote evidence. While most are far-fetched, several have become synonymous with the conspiracy over time for their unusual, albeit coincidental, nature. Mm. John Lennon was particularly will ruin me. I cannot particularly.
You just did, man. Yes.
Did it.
I like Congrats. To say especially. So John Lennon was especially vocal. There we go. That's an easier word for me to say.
Sure.
Especially vocal about his annoyance of people who read too much into the lyrical meanings of Beatles songs and in response wrote Glass Onion in 1968 to purposely confuse the culprits. Ironically, Paul is Dead conspiracy theorists took the lyrics to be an admittance of Paul's death, especially the lyrics... Well, here's another clue for you all, or y'all. The walrus was Paul. Fans have suggested that this is not only a reference to the song I Am the Walrus, written by John Lennon for the Magical Mystery Tour album, but more specifically to the album cover. The artwork portrays the band in costumes dressed as animals, three of which are stood shoulder to shoulder dressed in white fur, while one member, the walrus, appears separate from the others, dressed in all black. Ooh, a color often associated with mourning. Although it may seem an odd coincidence, fans have often debunked the so-called evidence, as to not only did John write and sing I Am the Walrus himself, but can be seen wearing the very same walrus costume in the Magical Mystery Tour film. Hmm. Which I always found that album cover very disturbing. It reminds me of The Shining.
Let me pull it up for the people on YouTube hold on just a minute.
Yeah, it's a very creepy. Like you remember the you guys have seen The Shining, right?
Long time ago.
I tried.
There's one person who's dressed as a bear. But it's a very disturbing scene. And the costume that he's wearing is very unsettling. There's some uncanny valley kind of stuff going on. But yes, this album in particular has some really creepy characters on the front. But yeah, you have the walrus down there wearing all black, right? While the rest of them are wearing.
So you white. Say that was John or who was in the black outfit?
They're saying Paul. Was the, okay. The yes.
Okay.
But it wasn't really Paul.
Or was it?
You're getting it.
Because if he's dead, then black, because
he's no more. Yes. Right. Welcome to the Black Parade. All right. And we'll carry on. We'll carry on. All right. Anyway. All right.
So we're not doing emo, BMO.
No.
That's
his name. All right. Emo, BMO.
I also stand by the statement that the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance is this generation's Sgt. Pepper's.
I agree.
I think it perfectly kind of sums up that album. So anywho, another popular point of discussion surrounding the conspiracy is that of the Abbey Road album cover, where Paul is pictured walking barefoot and out of step with the other Beatles. In some cultures, the dead are buried without their shoes. Some fans have understood the album cover to be a morbid symbolism of a funeral procession, with John's white suit embodying the color of mourning in some Eastern religions, George's denims symbolizing the gravedigger, and Ringo's black suit being traditional funeral wear. Although an interesting theory, the reality is a lot more plausible. Paul can be seen in other photographs taken during the photo shoot wearing sandals and, according to witnesses, kicked them off because they were uncomfortable. Additionally, their outfit choices were completely common of how they dressed at that time. Others have pointed out that in the photograph, Paul is holding his cigarette in his right hand, even though he's left-handed. In truth, Paul always held his cigarette in his non-dominant hand. And what I always say to that is never trust anyone who holds a cigarette with their thumb and their index finger. You can't trust those kind of people. You just can't. Or if they wear a pinky ring. Has to be held with your index and your middle finger. That is the only way I will trust you.
And not like
I see you holding like this. Pick? Yeah, I see you holding it like this. You got a problem.
That's like a more fancy way of how to smoke something, right?
Can't trust them, man. And if they're holding a cigarette like that and they got a pinky ring on, okay.
You really
right.
You'd have messed up.
Definitely if you have a pinky ring on. Yeah. Can't trust them, you know. Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I just realized for the first time that Paul McCartney wasn't even wearing shoes in that album cover. So
I didn't realize that until just now. I never noticed.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him. I don't like to wear shoes.
Do you honestly think that a lot of fans are like kind of reaching out, because who would have thought that George is wearing denim just to signify like gravedigger? Who would have thought? Who
gravedigger?
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you hardly see like gravediggers wearing denim.
I don't see him wearing anything. I mean, I just don't see him.
Because I don't see gravediggers.
Right. We never see gravediggers.
All the gravediggers I see are naked whenever they're digging graves. So they don't even wear them.
I mean, you could be right.
You know, I think there's so much. You can. Yeah. Are in South Carolina.
Only in this. I know. You better. Okay. That's why I'm moving.
It's hot.
I'm moving to Nashville. Damn it.
Same in Texas. Exactly. There we
go. Right.
It's so muggy.
But you know, I think though that like we can, if you look hard enough, you can find something to prove your point.
Right.
Or it's right there in front of your face, and they're just waiting for us to see it. And it's been right there. The answer to everything has been there the whole time, and we just didn't pay attention. Now we're here. Anyway. There is a quote from John Lennon in regards to this, and I'm going to do it in my John Lennon voice and try not to turn it into an Irish accent. So, they said I was wearing a white religious suit. I mean, did Humphrey Bogart wear a white religious suit? All I've got is a nice Humphrey Bogart suit.
That sounded a little pretty Irish, good. but that was good, right? That was great. Right. Hell yeah.
Anyway.
Perfect.
A little bit Irish, but that's okay.
All of these should be, South Park voices instead of Beatle voices.
Yeah, you're probably right. So several.
And then
other
we can blame Canada.
Yes,
it's all Canada's fault.
It's all
Thank
their
you,
fault.
Canada.
Yeah.
So several other quote-unquote clues discovered by fans involve secret messages that could be heard in various Beatles songs. I love these. So one popular example of the suggestion is that John Lennon can be heard saying, "I buried Paul," in the final section of Strawberry Fields Forever. As can be heard more clearly on the Anthology 2 album version of this song, John is actually saying cranberry sauce.
Mm.
A quirky
I will be
lyric.
Listening to this later.
Yes, yeah.
Cranberry sauce. All right.
No.
So a quirky lyric typical of John's humor. Other clues have been put forward by fans playing several Beatles songs backwards, such as the suggested "Turn Me On, Dead Man" message hidden in the number 9 vocal loop in Revolution 9, or the lyric "Monsieur, Monsieur, Monsieur, how about another one?" And "I'm So Tired," sounding suspiciously like "Paul is dead, man. Miss him, miss him."
Look at that man, and she's like, "No, this can't. No, we're like, dude, right. Come on now." So
wait, but I want to make sure we're talking about playing music backwards.
Yes.
Backwards. Yeah. Not, okay. This goes back to like we need to do an episode about the Satanic Panic.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
We will 100% do that. There's plenty of evidence. You can. That. Yeah.
Okay.
Oosa, calm down.
All right. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. In through your nose, out through your mouth. We're going to make it through. Although an interesting find, such examples have been repeatedly debunked to be nothing more than mere coincidences. In fact, the trend of looking for secret messages from playing songs backwards has been rife for decades. Several other popular groups of the 20th centuries have had their share of dark conspiracy theories too, such as AC/DC, the Eagles, and Led Zeppelin, who have all been accused at times of brainwashing listeners with satanic messages as a result of the trend.
Before we get to this, clues, did y'all know? Well, this is another conspiracy. Stairway to Heaven, right? The most overplayed, like, band song in a guitar.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Right.
I am over
it. Okay, so someone told me that that's about the devil trying to buy his way back to heaven. It's buying Stairway to Heaven. That makes sense. What do you all think? No? Yes? It's like a...
Interesting idea.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. But back to the... Okay, so this image of Paula's Day Clues, are these songs that you can play backwards that, you know, that has...
So, yeah, I was looking at it just now. That is a playlist on Spotify.
Okay.
And honestly, if I had the time to go through 46 different songs and listen to them all backwards, I would love to, but I won't.
No,
I will just take their word for it.
There you go. Boom.
There you go. But yes, the playlist is called Paul is Dead Clues on Spotify. Maybe on Apple Music too. I'm not sure, but this one in particular is on Spotify.
Right.
Okay. John Lennon also had to say, "Those freaks were right when they said you was dead."
That's a good verse, yeah.
All right, so Jeff's listening. I want Jeff to use his AI abilities to create an AI image of me as John Lennon.
Ooh.
And I want to see.
We'll put that on a shirt. Where,
and we'll put it on a shirt.
And sell it.
Yeah.
To our good fans.
And we'll put it on our website. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. So now moving
on. That's a great
although idea. And Jeff, make sure that I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Paul is dead. all right. So although there will always be some fans who believe the Paul is dead story, most view it as a wild conspiracy theory. That said, never before or since has there been such a unique cultural occurrence. Unlike other major conspiracy theories that barely catch the attention of the mainstream press, newspapers, magazines, radio stations, and even television networks across the globe, we're all asking whether Paul was really dead by late 1969. What started out as a rumor and ended up in an international phenomenon is now forever be known as music's biggest conspiracy theory and will always be remembered alongside the greatest band that ever lived.
Amanda, can you do me a big favor?
Yes.
I remember when my aunt Molly, she was the biggest Beatles fan, and she told me that a lot of fans were against the Beatles back in the 70s or 80s, maybe. Can you look it up? Because they got rid of a lot of fans.
I thought you were about to say, Amanda, you were alive in the 70s.
No.
Why don't you tell us what your thoughts were?
For four whole months.
No, because she told me that that all of the fans like discarded their albums and ran them over with steamrollers and stuff.
Yeah.
See if you can find that for me. Because I think that was the reason why somebody made this conspiracy theory to bring them all back to like the Beatles again. You know, to make it buy the albums. That's the closest thing I have to. This might make sense to us all.
So
you know, instead of just
here's my
theories, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's my thoughts too. Like the Beatles were very artsy, right? They were incredibly talented. Like they were always looking to like push the boundaries. What can we do next? How can we make the next thing better?
Right.
And it wasn't I don't think it was all for like show to get people talking, but let's take it back, way back, like to their early days and the whole controversy surrounding them saying that they were bigger than Jesus. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like the uproar. Yes, that was
the reason for. Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah. So like, I think they've always just kind of been controversial, maybe not necessarily like just being jerks about it, but I think, you know, like, hey, what can we do to get people talking? And then this theory comes up and they probably thought it was funny, honestly, like Paul's dead. Let's mess with him. Like, let's, you know, John Lennon's like, I'm going to write some songs and I'm going to do some of these things because like, you know, and it's also fun. Like I'm the kind of person, like when I'm involved in something that I enjoy, I'm like I'm all in, right?
You're invested.
I want to know all the details, right? Mm-hmm. I'm fully invested, more than just like I'm a casual fan. Like if I'm really a fan of yours, I want to be involved in all aspects. So if you have comic books, I want to read the comic books. You're in a movie, I want to watch the movie. And like one of my favorite things about being a Taylor Swift fan is all these little Easter eggs and little things that she kind of does over time, because what does it do? It brings us together. It allows us to connect with other fans of this particular thing or this person, and we have discussions. We give our own theories, like, oh, what do you think this means? I thought that she meant this whenever she sang this in this song. Yeah. Remember, just put this picture that she posted on her Instagram story today.
Right.
In the background, you can see such and such. This is a reference to whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that kind of stuff. And like, for the Beatles to hear this conspiracy theory that is, you know, this honestly they probably thought was funny. Because it is absurd. Like Paul McCartney died in a car crash and they just got a lookalike to stand in his place.
Yeah, that doesn't
and take, like, right, yeah. That's funny. That is hilarious. Like it would make me laugh too. And then they probably just said, you know, let's just go with it. Let's put it in our songs and let's really mess with these people. Let's give them something to talk about.
Body rate. I love it.
Let's give them something to figure out.
Give them something to figure.
It's all about love.
It's all about love. Love.
Sorry. Look at me. Love she knew some lyrics to something.
I see. Look, it's working.
I see
we
you.
We said it was going to work, and it's working. Proof is in the pudding. It is.
See?
Look at me. There was another time the other day where I even made the Ozzy Osbourne comment earlier. I knew Ozzy Osbourne was in Black Sabbath.
Heck yeah.
Look at me. I mean,
You're learning.
I know some things.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What were you asking about, James? I got sidetracked.
Aliens.
No,
they exist.
But the time that the fans got rid of all the Beatles records and stuff like that, and ran them over with steamrollers and such, or something, because Blake said earlier, because they did that because I think you said John said that they were bigger than Jesus.
And I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah,
they were interviewing and they were like, yeah, we're bigger than Jesus now.
A lot of people did not like that.
Did not like that. A lot of people were upset.
So that's the reason why they did what they did with their records and such.
Yeah.
But I clearly remember my emailing saying something like that.
Yeah.
I found something about this that was called Burn Your Beatles Records.
That might be it.
1966.
Yep.
And it was yeah, the quote was, Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I am right and I will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity.
Okay, and which Beatles said
that? Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting it that ruins it for me. And that was a quote from Lennon.
From John Lennon.
Yeah, because okay. I thought it was drawn. Yep, I thought it was drawn for yeah. sure. Yeah, man, but I mean, I was all the big rage, you know. And I felt like they had to bring them all back into the, you know, love us, and that's where they, okay, well, one of our members yeah. that we got to look like, come and see him, you know, he's here yeah. live with us, and, you know, looks just like Paul, come on, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. And wait, when did they say Paul died again?
In like 1969? Oh, 66.
Oh, interesting, because... So I'm looking back. So that was the 9th of November, 1966, was the car yeah. crash. The Burn Your Beatles albums was August of 66.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
I know. Interesting. Only 2 months difference.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Months can change and everything. Yeah, I know. So it was weird.
So I think that when it comes to artists, and maybe not so much anymore, yeah. but any kind of like news is, or any type of publicity is good publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's take, for example, during the Satanic Panic and Reagan is in office and, you know, Tipper Gore, is, also like very much over, media that is exposing children to whatever, like, right, like that's the big concern, like this like these movies are dangerous, this music is dangerous, these video games and whatever. So they come up with the idea to put the parental advisory sticker on the album.
I want to say right now, I want everybody who knows Ice-T to probably get him on here on the show, because I want to ask
Please
him
do.
About what he thinks about Tipper Gore, because he does yeah. not like that woman at all. And
No one really cared for her.
But like Al Gore, right? Because, I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting that her husband created the thing that is the thing we've got to protect all of us from.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which is a little sticker says parental advice. No.
The internet.
The whole internet.
Well, yeah.
Al Gore is responsible for the internet.
Right.
And that is where all of the scary things live.
Yeah.
Right. Even in the dark web.
That sticker, I think there's been several artists that have said this, but I think the one that sticks out to me the most is Tommy Lee from Motley Crue said that sticker is the best thing that ever happened to our album sales.
Really?
Yes, because
because it's like, yeah.
They walk through, because it's for two reasons. You walk through the record store, you see an album cover. First off, the album artwork is going to catch your eye, but if it's got a parental advisory sticker and there's some danger there, catches your interest, right?
Yeah, it does.
And then you've got to have it. Like, it's eating you alive. I've got to own this album. I've got to listen to it. I got to figure out what is so bad about this album that they had to put this sticker on here, right?
Right.
So you buy it, you listen to it, and then like you become a fan. Right. Another reason that people bought those albums is so they could burn them. They buy them so they could turn around and like run over them with a steamroller or set them on fire.
Then
the band doesn't care. Bought the album.
They got the money. They don't care.
That's exactly what happened
with it. Right.
That's exactly what happened with the NWA rap group. It's like, they bought them. Who cares, you know?
They didn't care. They were making money either way. Yeah. Well.
That, I hated that stupid sticker. Growing up, my family was, had the, what's it called? Columbia House.
Yes, right? Yes. Get 10 CDs for a cent or something like that.
So I, you know, we were allowed to pick a certain number of CDs or tapes or whatever it was. And the one that there was one that I wanted, and my mom freaked out because it had a, you know,
sticker,
parental advisor, yeah. You know, advisory, whatever. Yeah. And so she was like, no, I'm so, like, you can't get that because it has this. It was big ones. It was big. I mean, it was like the album, yeah. Right? So she wouldn't let me get it because, you know, of that. Mind you, I guess I was in high school.
Yeah.
My sister, however, was allowed to just go into Target or wherever and buy whatever she wanted because she would just throw it in the cart. Mm-hmm. And my mom would pay it for it. And she was younger. And I was like, this is not fair.
Right.
Why? Because, like, I want to get it in your, you know, cheaper way.
So what was the album?
It was Big Ones. I forget what my sister's album was.
Big Ones.
I just know that mine was Big Ones by
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Oh, okay. Aerosmith. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and, but my sister, I don't remember what album it was for Big her, Ones. But she just got it, you know, at Target or I think it must have been Target.
Well, why the heck?
She got it. She was younger than me, whatever album it was. Even though it had a parental advisory on it, but I couldn't, and it was like a whole thing in our household. So
I wonder why Aerosmith has a parental advisory on Big Ones because they're like blues clues band or something. You know,
on like, Aerosmith's like, Big Ones, I'm sure. I mean, come on, I don't remember all the songs on there.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder now.
Well, it was a greatest hits. Album, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was their biggest songs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe that's why. I don't know.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Walk on Water, Love in an Elevator, Ragdoll, Dude Looks Like a Lady, Jane's Got a Gun.
Maybe that's it right there. Dude looks like a lady.
Or Living on the Edge. Yeah, that was the greatest.
Or Jane's Got a Gun
album.
Yeah, but I just remember being so angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, because I don't know.
But it does make sense because anytime you tell someone they can't have something,
you want it that much more.
It makes you want it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of course you do.
Right.
You have to be careful. Right. Like, I think, you know, like you have to, I'm not a parent, but like,
not
I
yet.
Think when it comes to parenting, like, I think looking at, like how you handle those types of situations, like you have to take that into account. Like, all right, if I make a big deal about whatever it is,
right,
it may end up like coming back to haunt me because if I don't handle it correctly, then it may just make them want to do it more. And then they're just going to do it specifically because I said, don't do it.
Well,
I think it's a very fine line of like, don't do it, but also like, here's the why. It's with parenting, I think that there's lots of like nuance to it, and it's got to be like, you know, because like with my kids, for example,
I was gonna ask about that.
Like, we I will not even use my kids. So, I led the youth group at my church for quite a long time, and juniors and seniors. And what I would always say to them is, like, yeah, I drink. But you all shouldn't drink, like, because
this can happen.
Yeah.
Here's the deal is like, drinking is illegal because you're under 21. Mm. Also, guys, I love you, but teenagers make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
People that are drinking make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
When you are a teenager and you are drinking, you are making really dumb decisions.
Right.
So don't. And it wasn't here's why. Now, when you're 21, like, and it's legal, like, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not against drinking. I'm against you drinking at this age because of these reasons.
Right.
And I think that's, like, the difference is when you are, like, not, this is bad, don't do it. Instead, you are, hey, don't do this thing because, and you explain it, and you're open and honest and have a dialogue. It's a whole different thing.
True. True that.
My thoughts. There you go. Man,
get some conspiracy theories and a life lesson all in one episode.
There you go.
How about that?
And some useless knowledge, you know, at the beginning.
And some useless music knowledge. By the way, That article was written, I found her name, Emma Davies, wrote that article for BeatlesStory.com. So real quick, Emma is a sales and marketing executive at the Beatles Story with a bachelor's in music and popular music, from the University of Liverpool.
Nice.
So go Emma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonder if she can do a better.
Probably has a better speaking voice impersonation than I do.
We'll try to get her on. Who knows? Maybe
we'll have to get her on here and see how she does.
Yeah. Well, I think she'll do like 10 times better of a I don't know.
It'll probably hurt my feelings, and then you know what? I'm gonna need a mental health minute.
Amanda is gonna throw her dogs away pretty soon.
I'm about to throw my dogs away. They're about to lose their mind. My kids just got home, but I'm gonna get this mental health minute in here really quick.
We got it. We'll get it.
Actually, something that my daughter helped me with, which is I lose track of time. Yay, ADHD, doom scrolling, all of the things. So when it is time for me to get ready to go do something, she suggested I create a playlist. So I now have a 15-minute playlist, 20-minute playlist, and there is a song that is your like 5-minute warning. You've got to get out the door.
Wow.
Wrap it up.
Nice
song.
Yeah. Good idea.
And it's cool. Really, so whatever the songs are for you, like mine is my final song on two of my playlists. One is Fast Car. Because you know.
Fair enough, yeah.
And then the other one that I know for sure is Chris Stapleton's You Should Probably Leave.
Yes, great song.
Okay, good one. Yeah.
And that makes sense.
To help you like enjoy your music and keep you on track time-wise.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Amanda.
Yeah, that is great.
You should exactly. Probably, it helps me because like, you should probably leave.
Get out. You know? But that's great.
I got a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great one. That's really helpful.
I love it. It's really on brand for this. And my kids are walking in the door, and so the dogs are going to lose their minds in approximately like even more than they already have.
Right.
It is my daughter's like, shh, I can hear her going, shh. I don't know that it's gonna work. Oh, and I hear the neighbors also mowing their lawn. Yeah. Oh, so we've got like all the things
we're good. Happening here. Can't even hear.
We're good though.
We're all set.
Oh no, they actually did quite well. I'm surprised.
Nice.
Although they're driving me nuts. If anyone would like to borrow some dogs, just hit me up and I will let you have some. With that, you all have anything else?
No, I think I'm good. We'll go ahead and wrap up. I think our one takeaway is like, do your research, right? Have fun with it. Don't let it consume you. That's all I got
and
to say.
And with that too, like I said, with your playlist, if you are curious about something, create a playlist that is however long you really want to give to whatever that topic is.
There it is.
So you don't spend 6 months researching something, maybe 45 minutes. Create your little playlist. And then when it's over, you're like, okay, my time of researching is done.
Yep.
And then you start to make some opinions, create, you know, some of your own thoughts. But yeah, I really loved her idea of like, playlist with a song that's a reminder, like your 5-minute warning for whatever the thing is. So I started this weekend, and so far it has worked beautifully for me.
You got me singing Chris Stapleton, Amanda. I love you for that. I'm going to listen to that song every now until I go to bed. Now until I go to bed, it's that song only. I mean, just over and over and over.
We should probably leave.
And with that.
So with that, thanks for listening to the show today. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to this.
Yeah. If you want to follow the show on social media, we're on Facebook, we're on X, we're on Instagram, and on the TikTok. Just search for Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast and give us a follow. That's where that was going. Anyway, give us a follow. Do it.
Are you okay here, man?
No.
Okay.
Nope. All right. Not okay.
Jesus.
Not okay. I have many a conspiracy reptilian theory I have brain. To dive into. Oh, yeah, my right. I learned way too much about reptilians today, and my brain's fried.
There you go. All right. So would you like to be interviewed on the show? If you're a musician, please reach out to us at James@WinWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com, Blake@WinWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com, or Amanda Dolin, D-O-L-I-N, @WinWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com, or you can message us on any of the social sites mentioned here before.
Jeez, sorry.
And please subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch interviews, music video reactions, vinyl showcases, and more. You can check us out at youtube.com/WinWordsFailMusicSpeaks. Be sure to turn on that notification bell so you can be notified when new videos are uploaded. If you're currently watching this on YouTube, tell us your favorite conspiracy theory and belly flop on that like button for us. Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
I need to have like good. I need to have like a splash sound. I can always, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be good. We need some background. Yeah. Sound yes, effects. We do. That'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd
be okay. Yeah, we do.
For all these links to find more about us or to buy some amazing merchandise, see, y'all wear off of me. I can't talk to you anymore either. But, oh, Jeff, make that image so that we can sell it on a shirt on our store. Please.
Yes.
At WinWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com. So,
yeah.
Hopefully that'll be a big seller. It'll have.
We'll see. Jeff's kind of mean, and he's been in New York. Maybe he'll come back and he'll be mean like a real authentic New Yorker, and he'll be like, "I'm walking here," and then he won't do it.
He went to New York, Amanda, because he's a Ghostbuster.
I'm working on something too. We'll see who's better.
Woo,
me.
Yeah,
probably.
One day Jeff's gonna meet me and he's gonna be like, "I hate you."
All right, yeah, I know, right?
It's probably Amanda. If I had to guess. Yeah, he was in New York for a Ghostbusters convention.
Yes,
he met the director of the new movie. Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, because he's a resident Ghostbuster here. Yeah,
yeah,
and that's right, because he did meet the director from the Frozen Empire.
Nice. So. Cool. Well, speaking of ghosts, who are you gonna call? You're going to call Blake because Blake has a podcast called South Carolina Spook Show, and it's all about ghosts, and it's about true crime, and it's about cryptids and what have you. So go check that out. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts, and I've got a new episode coming out very, very soon. Almost done. Be on the lookout for that.
A very particular episode?
It is particularly spooky.
I see what you're
saying. Say the least.
I see what you're
or doing. Or unspooky, as I should say.
Interesting.
Should I indulge a little bit? Okay. So there is a bridge in South Carolina that is like has had so many mysterious deaths that has happened in its history, but it is not haunted. Like there are no like ghost sightings or anything, but there are all kind of weird, mysterious deaths that have happened. Check that
interesting.
Out. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, check it out.
You want to hear something weird, Blake?
Sir?
And then there's a in Sumter where you are, there's some like some kind of railroad tracks that
I've heard about some railroad tracks. I've heard about there is a
Have you heard about the children that they got killed in a bus, school bus? So every night when the car goes over the railroad tracks, the car and you turn off the car just moves. It's like the children are pushing it out of the way for.
Okay, now I'm gonna have to do some research on that.
Get stuck in too much.
Oh no!
Yeah, but I heard that rumor like years ago. I don't know if it's true. So that's one thing.
I'm gonna research it.
Yeah,
could have a new episode on. On the horizon.
And then check out my other podcast, which is the Mental Society. Actually have some new stuff coming out. I got one episode out and I'm working on a whole series right now about ADHD because that is my life right now. I'm trying to find ways to, you know, understand my symptoms and treatment and all of that good stuff. And then we're going to have some really amazing guests and So yeah, check out that. There is more coming, and I'm really excited about all of that. So yeah.
Nice.
Check me out there.
Good things are happening over there. So thank you once again to our sponsors for this episode, Bones Coffee and BetterHelp.com. Remember to use our discount code MusicSpeaks, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order at BonesCoffee.com. You can find over 30 different flavors. Blake and I love it. Have you tried it yet, Amanda?
Yes. Yeah, the chocolate. What's the chocolate one?
Chocolate raspberry, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Hang on. I found the thing for you, Blake, so I'll send it to you.
Yes. Okay. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
And when you're done ordering the coffee, you can go to BetterHelp if you need it. You know, it's always there for you. Go to BetterHelp.com/MusicSpeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy and to get matched with a therapist that is perfect for you.
Heck yeah.
Awesome.
Do we have anything else to add?
That's it. Sorry, I'm ghost. I'm searching for ghost stories.
Yeah, sorry.
It's your time, man.
This is
our time.
Ghost stories.
Yeah.
Ghost stories.
This is our time, Blake. I love it. Sorry, y'all. You do that on your own time.
Oops.
Now it's just playing. You can do it whatever you want. So thanks again for listening to the show. I still can't talk, but that's okay. And always remember, see, I still can't do it.
When words fail.
And words did fail me.
But music will speak for us.
Music speaks, okay. And trust no one. Goodbye, everybody.
Yay!
Everything is a lie. Nothing is real. Birds are not real.
No, they are not.
They're fake.
We done here?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.